Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. It's a Thursday edition. That means Nick Costos and I are about to break out some picks. But first, Nick, tell me why you love Blake Bortles. He's a people.
You love people, right?
I'm salty in general this morning. We taped this on Friday morning here. I hate everyone. And at the top of the list is Blake Bortles. And this is why I hate Blake Bortles. You know why, Will? Because, like you, I care about my job, right? I come to work. I try to be good at my job. When I fail, I try and get better. I study what I've done wrong. What you've got in Blake Bortles is a coddled kid, right? Who's a multimillionaire at this point, the number three pick in the draft, who goes out there on a weekly basis on national television and absolutely embarrasses himself with his piss-poor mechanics. I mean, it is like a bastardized version of what Tim Tebow used to do, except Tebow was better. At least Tebow would be firing his teammates up. All Bortles makes Allen Robinson want to do is fire his helmet into the bench.
You're not joking about the Tebow thing, though. Like, when you watch it, it's this elongated right-handed motion.
It's a catapult. I've never seen anything like it. If he did that at UCF, he wouldn't have been drafted.
No.
He is an undrafted player right now in the National Football League. And to me, the thing that pisses me off the most is that the guy clearly doesn't care, because if he cared, he'd fix it.
You know what makes me more mad than him not caring? Is that he ended up with 300 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. That shouldn't be your line, dude. And the only reason he had that line is because the balls he threw in the first half were so crappy. And I wish we had a producer so he could just bleep out. It would just be beep, beep. They were so...
He is shot putting lawn darts into the ground.
But they were uninterceptable. That's the only reason he didn't have 6 interceptions.
And I started defense in my fantasy league.
Yeah, And the other thing is, then he piles up these garbage stats. You see, I think the numbers are, and I've got them right here because Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk tweeted them out. In his career, Blake Bortles, first quarter, this is yards and touchdowns, 1,598 yards and 4 touchdowns. Second quarter, 2,356 yards and 15 touchdowns. They're probably losing. Third quarter, 1,912 yards and 13 touchdowns. And here it is, in the fourth quarter for his career, Blake Bortles, 3,364 yards and 26 touchdowns. He is Oscar the GD Grouch. He's the king of garbage time.
He's Oscar the Grouch. Absolutely.
And it's infuriating. Look, the Jaguars have to blow it up. Okay. Dave Caldwell maybe stays as the GM, but Gus Bradley, you're gone. Sorry. I don't like people losing their jobs. Gus Bradley, you're out. You're bringing a new.
Gus Bradley needs to be fired. At this point, it's an old yellering. It's a mercy kill.
It really is.
Take him out behind the woodshed, grab the shotgun, and do what needs to be done.
He's 14-41.
The guy doesn't have a clue.
I mean, but the only problem I have with
Olsen, the offensive court, I would rather have Greg Olsen,
the tight end,
run the Jaguars offense from Carolina than have that clown Greg Olsen calling plays on the sideline. And he's got his quarterback winding up like he's a Deo freaking Nomo to throw a football in the National Football League. Give me a break. The Jacksonville Jaguars, what a clueless, inept disgrace.
And they're supposed to remember all the think pieces this offseason saying they were going to be good and make the playoffs? Get out of here. All you people suck.
Like, get out of my face. Get them off primetime. Get those mustard-colored jerseys out of here forever.
They're worse than the jerseys. The only answer here, Nick, is you fire Gus Bradley and you go Doug Marrone.
Yeah, that'll work. Oof, Marrone. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Doug Marrone's really, he'll fix it.
Well, the good news is I had the Titans last night. Somebody tweeted us about they were like, oh, well, we need the podcast for Thursday picks. You didn't need the podcast last week. I was terrible, Nick. And that may be why I'm salty this week, because I did so poorly against the spread.
We're salty, huh?
Yeah, we're mad today. 4-10-1
I'm furious.
4-10-1 against the spread last week.
Not good.
That's terrible.
But my best means is that you'll do better this week.
That's right. It'll be a bounce back week. My best bets went 2-3. Let's dive into the picks. Redskins.
The Redskins
at the Bengals. I'd use air quotes because this game, there's another London game, for God's sake. Third week in a row, we're going to get breakfast football. We can make fun of this one because it's not on CBS. Fox is hosting Bengals versus Redskins. The Bengals oddly opened up as 7-point favorites, but then everyone realized it was in London, so they made Bengals 3-point favorites. I look at this, the Redskins are should have won 5 straight games, but gagged against the Lions. Matt Jones probably not playing, which means Rob Kelly running the ball. I like the Bengals and Josh. If Josh Norman doesn't play, I like the Bengals to go huge with AJ Green all day.
Yeah, very strong no play for me here. I lean towards a lay it or don't play it scenario with Cincinnati, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Redskins won this game outright. Cincinnati's been very disappointing this year, and you know what I point to? Losing Hugh Jackson as the offensive coordinator, yeah. I don't think that Zampezi really knows what he's doing, calling the plays for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think it's hurting Andy Dalton and this offense. You saw them get right last week, but that was a home game, a real home game in Cincinnati in the Queen City, and that was against the Cleveland Browns, the Redskins' legitimate NFL competition. So, as I said, if you make me pick, I'll take Cincinnati, but a no play for me as far as the spread is concerned.
I typically go no play in general on these London games. You just don't know what you're going to get. They end up being insane. So yeah, what?
I liked the Rams last week. I didn't play it. So
turns out the Rams are terrible.
Case Keenum's terrible.
The Giants are terrible too. Everyone sucks in the NFL. Yeah, it's really annoying.
The Giants suck.
Yeah, they suck.
The Rams suck.
The Rams suck worse than the Giants. It's terrible.
They do.
Speaking of two teams that might suck, the Raiders and the Buccaneers are playing. It's a pick 'em. Everything about this game, this is just like the Jaguars game last week, where remember we looked at it and we're like, Jaguars -1? That can't be right.
Yeah.
The side has to be the Jaguars. Well, I think the same thing. This line is moving towards the Raiders, which leads me to believe people are betting the Raiders. I want to say the Raiders are the pick, but I think Jamison and Mike Evans can throw the ball against these guys, and I'm just not sure that the Raiders will play well on their second game in a week in Florida. So I'm going with the Buccaneers, even though it's the exact same situation as last week, and the Raiders were the obvious play, and we just didn't take an obvious. Sometimes a line is just a line, Nick.
Guys, I can't.
Guys, sure. Guys is fine.
More like people listening.
The people listening. Right.
You guys know that. I can't get away from what brought me to the dance here. Yeah. I have to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I hate doing it because I think that the Raiders could easily win this game. And by the way, the highly anticipated Super Bowl 37 rematch here between these two teams. Is it 37 or 36? 37 and Bucks, 100%.
I think it's XXXVI. No,
Giants-Ravens was 35, so 36 was Patriots-Rams, 37 Raiders-Bucks. So this is Super Bowl 37 rematch. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. I hate myself for doing it. I'm really going to hate myself when Derek Carr is leading a fourth quarter comeback, but I got to stick with what brought me here, and that's taking home dogs in spots like this. So give me Tampa Bay.
You are correct. It is 38. I'm on Tampa Bay too. Look, I feel the same way. It's like I want to flip back to the Raiders, but then I'll be irate when the Buccaneers cover. So I'm sticking with the Buccaneers. Panthers hosting the Cardinals. This is a fascinating game because last year when these two teams met in the NFC Championship game, the Panthers had one loss all last year. The Cardinals had 3 losses all last year. Currently, the Panthers have 1 win this year, and the Cardinals have 3 wins.
And the Cardinals coming off setting offensive football back to the Mesozoic era with that performance on Sunday night.
That is correct. 6-6 tie. Cardinals are 3-3-1. They tied against the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. Look, I think that the Panthers coming off a bye, as bad as their defense is, with a banged up Carson Palmer, 2 weeks to get right and motivate these pass rushers. And look, the Cardinals, frankly, being kind of beat up because they had to play against a tough Seahawks defense. I love the Panthers in this spot and think they win handily.
You know who else I've had enough with?
Carson Palmer?
Carson Palmer. I'm done with Carson Palmer.
Cardinals might be done with him too.
I have had it with Carson Palmer. It started off in the divisional round playoff game against the Packers, then the Humpty Dumpty size egg that he laid in the NFC Championship game against Carolina. He has not been good all season. I wonder why. Maybe because Carson Palmer is not that good. And I think that will manifest itself again. I'm with you, buddy. I'm laying the points with Carolina.
Getting a little nervous here early. Look, so I look at this slate of games, and I see similarities to last week, but the problem is, I don't know if you noticed this, because you might have been doing the halftime show or whatever on the .com, but about, you know, like every week in the fourth quarter, there's a flipping point where
Mike Francesa does radio in New York, calls it the witching hour.
Yeah, it's the witching hour, where like you might be sitting there looking at your 10 picks that are locked in, and all of a sudden, bam, 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 6 of them flip, and you like Usual Suspects, you flip you for real.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I've been doing this for the last decade plus, absolutely.
Right, but that the witching hour came around and the picks started to flip, and then none of them flipped. I'm telling you, I was watching it because I was looking at mine. I'm like, man, I'm doing terrible. And then all of a sudden, it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I was like, oh, boy. I'm about to be on the right side of this flip. And they all paused and backed up. So I feel like the mojo was there and it just didn't flip. I point that out because I think the Tennessee Titans were a good pick against the Colts last week. They were a better team than Indianapolis. All their strengths match up against Indianapolis's weaknesses, except the problem is they're coached by Mike Mularkey and he's broken Marcus Mariota. The difference is the Chiefs, coached by Andy Reid, has not broken Alex Smith, and he has Spencer Ware, who will run roughshod over the Indianapolis Colts. I think KC -2.5 as road chalk is a lock.
I'm going to go the other way here.
I know
you are. I'm going to grab the points with the home underdog, the Colts here. Andrew, remember that wild card playoff game a couple years ago when the Chiefs had that big lead and the Colts came back and won?
That was the day after my son was born. I was watching it in the hospital.
Happy birthday, Robbie, whenever that was. This game's going to be nothing like that one, but the Colts will still find a way to win.
Andrew Luck has been phenomenal this season.
Oh, by the way, real quick, I just saw on Twitter, Matt Jones, Redskins running back, out for this Sunday's game in London. So yep. It'll be Chris Thompson and Rob Kelly for the
Rob
Redskins.
Kelly is a fantasy pickup.
Dude, I can't wait to lose in fantasy this week because my opponent is going to start Rob Kelly now, and I'm going to lose, and it's going to be glorious. And by glorious, I mean I'll be suicidal by Sunday night.
Seahawks at Saints. Another road chalk situation. The Seahawks 4-1-1 against the 2-4 terrible Saints. Horrible on defense. Saints +2.5. Are you grabbing the home points here?
This is, I think, maybe the toughest game of the week to pick.
I'm with you.
I really want to lay it with Seattle, but I don't think that I can here. I'm going to take the points with the Saints at home here. I just don't love what I saw from the Seattle offense last week, and I don't think Russell Wilson's 100% healthy now. You want to talk about a get-right spot in New Orleans against the Saints defense, but I really like Drew Brees and the Saints offense, and I think they'll find a way to keep this game close and cover the spread. I don't love it. I'm not going to play it. It's not going to be one of my best bets, but I'll take the points with the home team, the New Orleans Saints.
I don't even know what I'm picking here. I think I'm taking the Seahawks because I believe that Seattle, this is a get right situation for their offense. Their defense is playing at 2013 levels right now. And their offensive line is just not very good, but they have, and I'm literally picking up, that's why I'm looking away from the camera. I'm picking up Rob Kelly right now. Not to play against you, but I'm picking him up. Right. Just wanted you to know.
In which league?
It's my Make America Gronk Again home league.
Okay.
You're not in it. Don't worry.
I am not in it. No.
Yeah, you won't be screwed by Rob Kelly this week.
No, I'm looking to pick him up in the FFT league right now.
Okay. Well, you go make your move. I'll just we'll just have an awkward pause while we both scramble to grab Rob Kelly. I just think Seattle is starting to has a season opportunity to get right on offense and have their offense get rolling despite the offensive line and that they put up some points against Seattle here, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just blast it. I mean, against the Saints. I wouldn't be surprised if they blast
it. It's Kelly with an E at the end, right?
Yeah, it is.
K-E-L-L-E-Y?
Yeah. This is fascinating podcast stuff. Okay, I guarantee you he's already owned that league because Dave and Jamie are in it. Lions at Texans. This line is perplexing, Nick.
That turd. Or Azer's got him.
Azer.
Adam Azer, the turd in the punch bowl.
Adam Azer will be reading a commercial in three games.
What's up, AA?
Lions and Texans. Okay, there's no reason that the Texans should be favored, right? Because Brock Osweiler's terrible, and yet the Texans are 2.5-point favorites. I actually think I like Houston here because the Lions' defense is bad, and the only reason the Lions have won games is because Jim Bob Cooter is coaching up Matthew Stafford. By the way, I got to speak at the chapel at my high school on this past Wednesday.
Yo, I saw a picture on Twitter. Your hair looked great.
It was a pretty good picture, right? I mean, my chin could look a little bit slimmer, but I thought I looked very professional up
it's
at the
fat
podium.
Ball,
yeah, that's right. And
yo, I'm fat.
Me too. Yeah, it's fat ball
season. No, like not like morbidly obese, but I'm not in playing shape at the moment.
No, it's dark stout season. I mean, that's, you know, it's heavy beer season. So, but anyway, I got up there and I made this lengthy analogy and I'll shorten it now. But the point was that Matthew Stafford's been through these various stages of his career. And I was explaining that happens in real life to these kids who are about to graduate high school. Like you're not just going to graduate high school and go be an adult. You're going to have these different stages of your career. And at some point, maybe, you know, you'll slip up and you'll need to come back to your fundamentals like Blake Bortles needs to go back and work on his mechanics. And
Blake Bortles doesn't care, though. Hopefully those kids care.
Right.
About their futures.
But the point is that's
kind of... about their families. Right. And about their lineage.
And about Allen freaking Robinson's fantasy owners.
And most importantly, my fantasy team.
But my point was that, you know, sometimes life works like that and you need to be prepared. But it really was just a long, drawn-out excuse to say Jim Bob Cooter on the stage at my old high school. And I got to say it like 5 times.
I'm sure they were thrilled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The 18-year-olds. I was like, so Jim Bob Cooter? And they're like, what? But it turns out Macaulay actually played Jim Bob Cooter in high school because he went to high school in Tennessee and they whipped his ass.
Nice. That's an inception.
I don't think that anybody's going to be whipping the A of Jimmy B this week. But I do think the Texans are going to make some noise here. I think the running game, Lamar Miller gets going. Brock Osweiler can throw when it's against a bad defense. And as bad as he looked on Monday night, I think it's an overvalue situation, which is why it's a surprising 2.5.
I'll take the Lions here. I think the Texans suck. And the thought of backing Brock Osweiler makes me want to puke in my mouth.
I feel, yeah, exactly. But that's why the Texans will win.
But you're probably right. It's a no play for me. Yeah. I just want to be clear about that. I'm not playing the game. I would take the Lions.
I think I have the Texans. I don't know. But again,
you know what? You know what? I changed my mind. You're right. The Texans will win.
Like, it's one of those that games
it makes no sense.
It makes no sense, and that's why you take the Texans, because it's so obvious that the Lions are going to blow them out, right?
I'm all in on the Texans.
I love it. Now I need to make sure that see, only one person has the Texans against the spread. I'm switching to the Texans and taking the Texans too.
Let's go.
Let's ride or die with Brock Osweiler. Oh God, we're off the roller coaster. Patriots at Bills. The Patriots are 5-point favorites now. It was 6 points. This is my best bet. And you know why? Because Rex Ryan and the Bills, this makes no sense either, but Rex Ryan and the Bills beat the Patriots 17-0. Bill Belichick knows this. Was it 16-0?
Yep.
Okay, without Tom Brady. Tom Brady is back. He is angry, but hasn't been totally angry. I realize Rex Ryan's been good, but pretty good against Tom Brady in his career. But this is it. They are 3-0 straight up since Tom Brady returned and 3-0 against the spread. And I think that continues this week. And even though it's a home dog, I'm buying the Patriots big time. I think they roll the Bills.
The Patriots are public darlings. They win money for the public every week the last 3 weeks. They've been coming out as favorites. The public's backing them heavy, and they win, and they cover. And I'm going to tell you a story. You remember back in 2003, the year after the Patriots won their – 2 years after the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, then they went 8-8 and missed the playoffs, right? Or they missed the playoffs, whatever, in 2002. A couple days before the start of the regular season – Bill Belichick cut Lawyer Malloy, and there was a major uproar, people questioning Bill Belichick. Remember Tom Jackson on ESPN? Lawyer Malloy signs with the Buffalo Bills. The Bills play the Patriots in week one in 2003 and beat them 31-0 with Lawyer Malloy in the secondary. In week 17 of that same season, the Patriots hosted the Bills and beat the Bills by the score of 31-0, went on to win the Super Bowl. A couple weeks ago, the Bills beat the Patriots 16-0. Now the Patriots hosting the Bills here again. Or the Patriots in Buffalo, and I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills with the points because I can't help myself, and I love home underdogs, and I love going against the public, so give me Buffalo.
It actually, look, taking Buffalo is the smart move.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
It's really not. It really isn't, seriously.
No, but I mean, like, taking Buffalo when they were home against Arizona and big underdogs wasn't the smart move either.
It's different.
I know. I just think I think Brady is going to come out pants on fire and light them up.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Yeah, but, like, I live the gimmick, though.
No, but you've got, look.
$1 million man, Ted DiBiase, when he goes on the road, is not eating at Applebee's. Like, he's going to Peter Luger's. Like, I can't take the Patriots. I have to take the Bills. I have to live my gimmick.
I'm going John Public here, and I'm taking the Pats.
Probably win.
I think I will. Final 1 o'clock game. This is the best game of the week. If you like excitement and leather footballs, it's the Jets at the Browns. God. The Browns are +3. It's on CBS Sports. I'm sure the ratings will be through the roof. This is probably the Nant Sims game, right? I'm guessing.
God, I think back to, like, that great playoff game in 1986 that these two teams played going into overtime with Kenny O'Brien and Bernie Kosar, and I think, what the hell's happened to the Jets and the Brian Fitzpatrick and Josh McCown? Good God and Savior.
Browns are +3, and I'm going to tell you something, Nick Costas.
I agree
I know you do. I'm going to tell you two things, and I think you're going to agree with both. One, I think the Browns are just straight up going to win this game.
Probably.
Two, I think I'm going to tell you three things. Two, I think they're definitely going to cover this game because they're +3 and they're home dogs against a 2-win Jets team that isn't that good. And three, everyone's talking about streaming the Jets defense this week. How about you stream the Browns defense and go against Ryan Fitzpatrick and take a couple pick six to the house?
I'm just excited for when they remake Weekend at Bernie's and Todd Bowles plays the lead character. Because the guy, can we check for Todd Bowles' pulse on?
Is it
the
like is this like Idris Elba as Bond, but the total opposite?
Exactly. Yes, except with no charisma at all. It just sits there. It doesn't. It's flatlined on the side.
That's what I'm saying. A flatline. Yeah.
I'll take Josh McCown and the Browns here, and I'll feel pretty good about it. Big game for my guy Gary Barnage. I like Cleveland to cover. And you know what? Screw it. Give me the Browns to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, who cares? By the
Cleveland,
way,
City of Champions.
I'm just saying, if the Browns win this game and can squeeze out another one, my Ravens in last place scenario is
no
still in play, Nick. All right, we're going to pause very quickly for a short commercial break, and then we shall return to break down the rest of the games.
Hey, sports fans. If you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Chargers at Broncos, part deux.
Are there only 2 4 o'clock games this week?
There are only two of them.
God almighty. Can we pull back the curtain on what this means for me?
Sure.
Like how this affects me, specifically.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So, you know, like you referenced that, you know, me, Pete Prisco, and John Beeson, we host the halftime show on .com, OTT, and the app and all those devices. We don't get to get off the set. So we go on the set at the 2 minute warning of the first game of the 1 o'clock slate that goes to the 2 minute warning. And we don't get to leave the set until the last game has returned from halftime and the second half starts.
Right. So you won't. And the worst part is that for these games, they're not even two at 4:05. One's at 4:05 and one's at 4:25.
So invariably, one of these games will go super fast in 1 o'clock. One will be super slow, and we're going to be on set for an hour. And then in the 4 o'clock slate, we're going to be up there for at least 45 minutes.
Well,
it's going to be devastating.
Well, I'm just going to tell you how it's going to be. So look, the 4:25 game, and we'll cover these in a second, is Packers-Falcons. I don't know if you know about that, but they're going to throw the ball 60 times each, which means that
the game's going to be 4 hours long.
You're going to get off the halftime set at 6:30.
God, I can't do it.
Yeah, maybe like 5:30. You'll be off at like 5:30 or 6.
Later. 6:15.
So do you get a break between the one and the fours?
Yeah, we watch football.
You get to watch the second half, but then you got to get back up at the 2 minute warning.
Not the 2 minute warning of the game. The 2 minute warning of the half.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've done the halftime show for Thursday night a ton, but you do the halftime show for every single 1 o'clock game.
Halftime of the 1 o'clocks, then halftime of the 4 o'clocks, then a post game show.
But you get off the set at halftime of the 1 o'clocks and go back and watch it in the green room.
Correct.
Okay, so you do get a break in between that. So it could be worse. Could be worse.
And we get to watch football. What a novel concept.
And talk about football for a living and get paid for it. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Chargers-Broncos, this line is plummeting. The Broncos are now 4.5. They opened at -6. It's plummeting, I'm guessing, because the Chargers beat the Broncos the last time, and everybody likes the Chargers getting +6. I personally like the Chargers to win outright. I think they're one of the five best teams in the NFL. 10? They're one of the 10 best teams in the NFL. They might be one of the five best teams. They're the greatest 3-4 team in the history of football, Nick. They could be 7-0. And they're going to beat the Broncos in Denver.
Everyone likes San Diego this week, right?
I'm sure. Well, because you know why? But I was the only one who liked San Diego to win outright last week.
But everyone likes San Diego this week, though, right?
Yeah. Denver's probably going to roll.
I'll take Denver.
C.J. Anderson going to be out. I'll tell you what, Devontae Booker's just better than C.J. Anderson.
I was just going to say, like, Devontae Booker is better than C.J. Anderson.
He's the ultimate, he's not the ultimate, but in terms of their roster, he's the best one-cut runner they have, and he looks fantastic running the ball. He's going to have, Chargers are pretty good at the run defense. Joey Bosa playing his tail off looks fantastic, but
yeah,
I think.
You know what, they didn't need him the first couple games of the season. That was good.
They're 7-0 with Joey Bosa. It's really annoying. So I tend to agree. I'm riding my Chargers bandwagon here, but I tend to agree with you. Everyone loves the Chargers. That's scary. The other 4 o'clock game, Packers-Falcons. Falcons -3. This is all I can think about when I think about Packers-Falcons in the Georgia Dome.
I know what you're going to go with here. 2010 divisional playoff game.
I picked Aaron the Falcons
Rodgers,
to win
31
this.
31 of 35, 400 yards, with four touchdowns, and then the Tremont Williams pick six before halftime, pretty much putting the game out of reach.
And I had picked the Falcons.
My memory amazing. My memory amazing.
No, you're just burning a hole in my face, in my head right now. I had picked the Falcons to win the Super Bowl before the season, and they were a great team that year, and then they just ran into a white-hot quarterback, which is what happens in the NFL.
You mean they didn't pick the Falcons to win that year?
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you said Packers.
Oh yeah, I picked the Falcons over the Texans that year. The halcyon days of the Falcons and the Texans, yeah. and Mike Smith days, and Aaron Rodgers carved them up, and there was nothing they could do. I kind of think that this is going to be Rodgers gets right in this game. Yeah.
We are both so dumb.
Are we dumb?
Well, I think so.
We might be.
I'm going to give you no real analysis, numbers, or otherwise of this game, other than to say, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to carve up the Falcons,
but
give me the Packers.
Isn't it all entirely based on 2010?
I have to be honest.
Is it 2010 or 2013?
When I play Madden, that was 2010. That was on the Packers right once of their Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, by the way, Aaron Rodgers. You haven't won a Super Bowl since then.
When I play Madden, I throw the ball on every play. It's football porn for me. I am obsessed. Do you remember a Sunday night game, Raiders and Steelers, when Rich Gannon was the Raiders quarterback? This was before teams threw all the time. And they came out and threw the ball 55 times on every single play in the game and beat this. I remember watching that. I was 17 years old. I'm not going to say what I had, but I had something going on physically in my body while I love it. If Mike McCarthy has actually said to himself, you know what? Screw the run game. We can't run it. We don't actually have any running backs on the roster. Let's just throw it 60 times a game with our all-world quarterback. My God and Savior, I'm obsessed with it. Give me the Green Bay Packers. Ice up that right arm number 12 and let's go make some money.
Look, dink, dunk, Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, feed them all day. It works. And by the way, my favorite all-time parlay, I swear to God I've hit this at least six times in one season. Raiders over, and the Clippers. Over only on a Sunday night. Clippers played no defense but could score. They had Darius Miles that year, and then you had Rich Gannon and the Raiders scoring. You parlay those three. I hit it, and I had it rolling, and then all of a sudden, I went big on that parlay because it had hit a couple times for me. And Sean Alexander came into Oakland on a Sunday night and ran for six touchdowns, and the Raiders didn't win, and I lost the parlay, and the bad man came to my house the next day. Eagles, Cowboys -4. You have the Eagles coming off a big win against the Vikings and the Cowboys coming off a bye. I think the Cowboys are going to blow the living tar out of the Eagles in this game.
Best bet of the week.
Eagles?
Philadelphia covers the spread.
Of course it is. Actually, that makes more sense than it would be a field goal game in this game, right?
The Cowboys, how are the Cowboys going to blow out the Eagles? Explain to me how that's going to happen.
The Eagles will turn the ball over.
Their defense is really good.
Yeah, but I just think that we're going to see the Cowboys fresh off a bye, and they're just going to run the ball. You can't stop them. Nobody. Fletcher Cox is an animal, but nobody can stop this Cowboys offensive line.
Eagles cover.
All right, I got the Cowboys.
That's my scientific retort.
Finally, Mr.
Best bet of the week, Eagles.
Oh, that you're
actually, my best bet of the week might be in the Monday night game.
Oh, no, you're not going to do this again, are you?
Bears.
Do you like the Bears in this game?
Of course I like the Bears. Are you kidding? This is the consummate spelled with a K. Oh, Nick Costos pick.
Oy vey. Jay Cutler coming back, which means Alshon Jeffrey will play well. Vikings have not looked great on the road. I got the Bears. No, I think I got the Vikings. I got the Bears. I got the Bears.
I might take the Bears to win the game outright.
That would be something else, wouldn't it?
I think I'm going to do it.
I kind of like the move. I don't have it, but I like the move because all of a sudden everybody's on the Vikings. They're rolling. Their offense isn't very good.
Have the Vikings made that move that everyone's been talking about for the offensive lineman yet? Has that not happened yet?
No, they got no offensive line.
Oh, they don't. Okay. Yeah. I think that Leonard Floyd and Willie Young are going to be in Sam Bradford's face all night.
What's the under on this game? 40 and a half.
41. 40 and a half, 41. Yeah.
I might like that under too. They're not going to be scoring in this game.
Yeah, I don't know if I can pull and the line's moving down here. I might go put in my pick right now. I might bet the Bears right now because I feel like this number's only going to get worse.
It's going to get closer to 3. And at 3, you don't really want the Bears.
At 3, I want I'm sprinting away from the Chicago Bears. Yeah,
but at 4.5, it's a field goal game. It's a blatant field goal game. It's not going to be a blowout.
I don't know what it is in the Super Contest. I forget. I need to look. But there will definitely be one of my contest plays.
All right, there you have
and
it.
And I may or may not be, as we speak, putting money on the Chicago Bears
and picking up Rob Kelly. All right, Nick Costas at the Costas. Will Brinson at Will Brinson.
Will, who do you hate the most right now?
In like life or just in football?
Yeah, in general.
It's not Blake Bortles. I know you hate Blake Bortles. You know what, Nick? I'll be honest. I feel like this podcast.
Don't give this to me. You got hate in your heart. Let it out.
Who do I hate the most right now? I don't really hate anybody right now.
That's the lamest answer of all time.
I'd have to think about it. Like, not anybody I can name on this podcast.
Fair enough.
I hate myself for agreeing to drive from Chattanooga. Oh, you know what? No, you know what I hate? I hate myself because My Morning Jacket was playing in Chattanooga on Wednesday night, and I could have got My Morning Jacket. Oh my God, they're an incredible band. I could have gone
kind of music.
Sort of jammy, but now they turned rock. They were like sort of all country. They're incredible. They rock up. I'll send you a song you'll like.
I won't listen to it.
Just Google My Morning Jacket. They were playing in Chattanooga. I could have stayed an extra night and gone and seen My Morning Jacket in my old high school stomping grounds. I didn't look up to see if there were any damn concerts in Chattanooga. And as a result, no My Morning Jacket for me. They went and played. They covered Wish You Were Here last night in Asheville. And I'm mad about that, too, because I should have gone and seen that. Anyway.
Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here?
Yeah.
Honestly, one of the best songs of all time.
Sure. Yeah. Pink Floyd's incredible. And
you know what I love about Pink Floyd? The fact that, like, the versatility that you have Roger Waters on some song singing, and then David Gilmour comes in and does others. Yeah. And they're both awesome.
And they both, like, will go down deep, dark holes. They aren't scared of deep, dark holes.
Just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl.
This is almost as good as...
You know what? That's Blake Bortles and Gus Bradley.
Two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl.
Swimming in a fishbowl year after year.
This podcast brings it full circle, and this week we're going to make you some daggum money. Subscribe via iTunes. Leave us a comment and review. Nick Costas, always a pleasure, sir. We will be back next week.
Peace out.